Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we will continue our series through the Beatitudes. We're going to be in verse number 8 tonight, and we've been tracing the teachings of Jesus in the Beatitudes, and he talks about being blessed, and he gives us how to live our lives with wisdom, and he teaches us what it means to be blessed, and that means happy, but also you are to be commended if these things are visible in your life. And he calls out and he gives a list of people who are blessed people. So in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 is where we'll begin tonight. But also, as you turn there, picture this with me. You have paid really good money to buy a ticket to a Broadway show or a play of some sort. And you've been thinking about this for a while. You've been looking forward to it. You're excited. You've been looking forward to it for days. You've been looking forward to it for weeks, maybe even months or years. And in your imagination, you are hyped about going to whatever this show is. Whatever it is that you've bought tickets to, and all of a sudden you get there early, you get your drink, you get your popcorn, you sit down, and you're like really settled into your seat. And right before that show starts, the doors open in the back, and all of a sudden someone comes in really late into that show. And as you look around, this theater is absolutely packed. The only seat that's open is directly in front of you. So you're doing some deductive reasoning, and you realize that this person is coming to sit down in the seat right in front of me. So they make their way down, and they sit down, and all of a sudden you realize when they sit down that they are wearing an absolutely massive hat. And you've been looking forward to the show. What is your response going to be? You're going to be like, oh, what is going on? I want to see this. Why are you blocking my view? Or maybe they've just got a huge hairstyle, right? Like they've got those like 80s hairstyles when the big bangs were in, and it's up in the air and you can't see around them. You guys are going to do everything within your power. As that show starts, you're going to be leaning back and forth. You're going to be looking around it. You're going to do everything and able to stop that your view from being blocked, right? You're excited about it. Now, have you guys ever watched TV with a really little kid? As you're watching a show, they get closer and closer and closer, and eventually they're like licking the screen watching TV, right? And for me, it's like, come on, I just want to see what's going on. Even though it's like Dora the Explorer, I want to know what happens. And you're like wanting to see the TV show or whatever it is, and your view is blocked. Now, guys, the point I'm trying to make with that is we will do everything within our power to make sure that we can see whatever it is that we want to see. And we want to remove whatever is blocking our view. And tonight, we're going to see from Matthew chapter 8 that there is something that blocks our view of God. It hinders us from seeing God, from having fellowship with God, from being in right relationship with God. And the main idea that I want us to study and think through is you must clean your heart to see God clearly. Because Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Very short but very powerful verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So now we've looked at Matthew chapter 8. If you could do me a favor and turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 is going to be the next springboard passage that we look at in this topic. But in your spiritual life, that massive hat or that big huge hairdo that blocks your view in your spiritual life is sin. Sin blocks your view of God. And we are not content to sit through a movie or a show or something that we have paid money to just stare at the back of someone's hat or the back of someone's head, right? We do everything we can to see, and sometimes we are just contented to sit through life with a blocked view of God. Something hinders us. Our walk with God is hindered, and we're not able to see God clearly or what he's doing in our lives because we have allowed sin there, and we just sit there and we're kind of like, you know what? I'm kind of starting to like that hat. And it's really silly. We start to enjoy the things that are blocking our view of God, and we don't really want to get rid of them. And sin blocks your view of God, and your fellowship with him will be hindered if you allow sin into your life. Father, we come to you and ask that tonight you would quiet our hearts, that you would use this short but powerful verse that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, that you'd help us to understand it, to apply it, but also, Lord, give us humility, that we would submit to it in whatever ways that you convict our hearts of. And Lord, we do realize that sin does block our view of who you are. It blocks our fellowship. And help us to see the blind spots that are in our lives so that we can remove them and not be blind to what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, again, I just pray that your word would not return void. We claim that promise that it won't. And I pray that you would do your will in our hearts tonight in Christ's name. Amen. So again, sin blocks our view from God, but tonight I'd like us to consider Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 from a couple different angles. And that first angle I want to look at is the blocked view. What blocks our view of God? What stops us from being able to see God as the pure in heart are able to in verse 8? So if you live a life characterized by sin, guys, you must examine your salvation. If you live a life characterized by sin, you must examine your salvation. Because some of us are like, why can't I see God? Why can't I feel His fellowship? Why can't I really feel like I have a close relationship to God? And maybe it's simply because you're not saved. Sin blocks our view of Him. It blocks our fellowship with Him. And let's read in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk, that is a pattern of life, a characteristic of life, even the walk in the previous verse, that if we walk in darkness, that's a pattern of life. If we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, so with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you see the connection that's made there? The pure in heart shall see God, and you must be clean in your heart to see Him, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses our heart and purifies our heart. We cannot do it on our own. It cleanses us of our sin, and maybe your fellowship with God is being blocked tonight because you're not saved. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you're really saved when you're not. Because if you're not able to see God ever or period, or you have no clue what He's trying to do in your life, maybe it's because you are walking in darkness. And I can't judge that. Only God and you can. But I never want to be held accountable as your youth pastor of, I've never challenging you with that. Have you examined your salvation? The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians to examine our faith, whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ. Sin blocks your view of God. Have you ever really had fellowship with God? Have you ever really had a relationship with Him? Or is everything you do just kind of a show? Hey, you know what? I know what people are expecting of me. I know what people want of me. And I'm going to put on this big show so that I look good on the outside and I don't get in trouble. Are you truly saved or are you walking in darkness? Do you even desire to do what's right? Do you even desire to please God with your life? Now, LeBron James, he is probably the most well-known basketball player. Steph Curry's kind of rivaling him for that. But LeBron James is known around the world, probably a very famous personality. Now, I did a quick Google search on LeBron James. He was born in 1984. He's won 3 championships in the NBA. He scored 2,657 points. He had 892 rebounds, 523 assists in high school. His son's name is awesome, by the way. It's Bryce Maximus. Bryce Maximus James. LeBron's played in the Olympics. We know a lot about LeBron James. But if he was to walk into youth group, come through that door right now, we know a lot of facts about him. But do you think that any of us would be able to run up to him and be like, hey, bro, what's going on? Like, we do not have a relationship with LeBron James. I would not be able to say, hey, I've got fellowship with him. I know you. I know all about you. And we do not know him. I don't feel like I know LeBron James. So guys, question for you, is that how your relationship with God is? You know all these facts about God. You know who He is. You've memorized verses. But you have never really had a desire in your heart to know Him. And the only desire of your heart when you're not in church is to walk in darkness. And to hide it. And you absolutely love sin. Do you need to enter a relationship with God tonight? Because after true salvation, guys, we will continue in sin because we're in flesh. We will sin. We are in this body. But it's not going to be something that we practice, that we walk in. That is a pattern of our life. It doesn't characterize our life that everything about us is sinful. And that's the only desire of our hearts. So guys, question for you. Can you sin over and over and over and over again and feel absolutely nothing? There's no conviction from the Holy Spirit. There's nothing. You have to examine your faith. Are you truly saved? Because a lot of us have grown up in Christianity. But the Bible does teach that faith in Christ is going to change us. And you may be like, Pastor Brandon, I got saved when I was five. I wasn't like doing drive-by shootings when I was 5 years old, right? I'm not just in this big, deep sin that I've got to change my life. I didn't see that huge, massive change. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What are your desires? Are desires according to the new man, or are they according to the old man? Because maybe you're in a situation where you can sin over and over again, you feel nothing, and in fact, your life is actually dominated by sin. It is absolutely controlled by it. In fact, you can't wait for the next time that you're able to sneak away into darkness and commit that sin because you love it. You plan the next time you're going to commit that sin. That is walking in darkness. And if we say we have fellowship with God, we lie. Is sin a characteristic of your life? Because once you are saved, sin's dominion has lost its grip on you. You are no longer slaves to sin. Salvation is not an emotional experience. It can be a result, but it's not. You don't have to have one to be saved. And guys, the Bible teaches that being born again means that your life is changed. Is your life changed? Or do you just keep hiding your sin? And guys, we are all going to struggle, but big question for you, do you even struggle? Or do you actually chase sin? There's no battle. You never fight temptation. You always give in. Do you even struggle with sin? If we walk in darkness and say that we have fellowship with God, we lie. Is your life characterized by sin? Because examine yourself. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And maybe tonight you might need to truly ask God to make you a new creature. Again, you may have grown up in church. You were born into this church. Not literally the building. That would be really weird. But like, you were born into this church. 2 weeks later, you were there in the nursery. You've grown up here. You know all the right answers. You know what people expect from you. But you've truly never been born again. You've truly never had a desire about spiritual things. As soon as the Bible is opened, do you just kind of tune out? Hey, you know what? This guy's going to ramble for 30, 40 minutes. What else can I do? What can I look up on Google? What apps can I look at so that I can ignore whatever's going up on stage? Because someone who is saved and has a true relationship with Christ is not going to consistently and purposefully tune out the Word of God. Is that a pattern of your life? And hey, we're going to mess up, but do you even struggle? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I want you guys to see this for yourself. This is the passage where Nicodemus is asking Jesus, how can I be born again? And it's the most well-known verse in the Bible is in this passage of Scripture, John 3:16. So let's start reading it in context. John 3, starting in verse 14, says this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Again, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, this is how you're born again. We've got to look to Jesus Christ. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And guys, He gave Him as the substitute. He took your punishment. He took that for you and I. And He was lifted up on the cross. And we've got to look to Jesus Christ. Continue reading in verse 16. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The wrath of God abideth on us if we don't believe in Christ. Look at verse number 19. This is really what I wanted to get to in context. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If we say we have fellowship with Him but walk in darkness, we lie. Do you love darkness rather than light? Do you love darkness more than you love Jesus, the light who came into this world? Because guys, that is a big symptom that maybe you need to examine your faith. If you love sin more than you love Christ, it is a big sign that you are not truly saved. Examine your salvation. We have got to look to Jesus Christ and Him lifted up. This is the only way that your heart can be pure and you can see God. We cannot do Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 on our own. We cannot have a pure heart without Jesus Christ. Pastor Brandon, I know I'm saved. I don't doubt that. But still, there are times when I feel like I can't get to God. I don't have access to Him. I don't feel like I can see Him, that I have fellowship with Him. Number two, if you live a double-minded life, you must focus your devotion on God. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And like Aaron Coffey said on Sunday night, he's talking about that phrase, pure in heart, and really as I studied that through, it carries the idea of being single-minded, of having a single focus. Now, Chris, if I could ask you to go to that closet back there, and if you could get that ping pong paddle and a ping pong ball. We're going to use it for an illustration in a moment. But while he's doing that, have you guys ever tried to focus on two different things with your eyes at once? Does it work super well? So, for example, how about everybody go ahead and take your hand, put it up in front of one of your eyes, but keep both eyes open. What do you see?
You.
See me, but also you see what?
My hand.
Okay, so my mind is trying to focus on two different things. And the first time I did this as a kid, I was like, you know what? I am completely awesome. I'm Superman. I've got X-ray vision. I can see through my hand, right? Like, I literally thought that when I was a kid. So you can go ahead and put your hands down. My mind is trying to focus on two different things. And if I walked around life like that, and I was double-minded, and I was trying to focus on multiple things in my life, physically, I would fall all over the place. So how many of you can actually, like, cross your eyes? Anybody in here, like, really good at crossing your eyes? And if you would be willing to volunteer to come up to be an illustration tonight, you can keep your hand up, and I need you to demonstrate that you can really cross your eyes, like, good, and keep them crossed very well. So go ahead and show me how you crossed your eyes. Oh, my goodness. Josiah, you're really close, and your eyes were, like, almost touching. So I'm going to have Josiah come up. Now, Josiah, I am going to give you this ping pong paddle, okay? You probably know where this is going. So what I want you to do is I'm going to throw this ping pong ball your way. I had multi-purpose reasons for playing the game we played tonight. And you have to keep your eyes crossed, okay? You cannot uncross them, and your goal is to try to hit this ping pong ball. Ready? Keep them crossed, and please miss it or completely ruin the illustration. All right, here we go. All right, so he obviously missed it. So Josiah, can you go run and grab that? And I'm going to ask him to do something else again. And when he brings that ping pong ball back, what I'm going to ask him to do, and hopefully he's listening as well, I'm going to give this ping pong paddle to him. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to focus on nothing else in this room except the ping pong ball, okay? So just like in Little League, focus on the ball, watch the ping pong ball, hit the ping pong paddle. Are you ready? Can you guys guess what's going to happen? Hopefully you're really not uncoordinated and you can handle this. All right, are you ready? Here we go. And he is watching that and he is able to handle it. He's able to juggle it up and down. He is only focused on that ping pong ball. Thank you so much. Very simple illustration. But guys, he would be completely uncoordinated and unstable if he was to walk around with his eyes crossed all the time. And when he is able to focus on one thing, he has a single-minded devotion to hitting that ping pong ball. He is able to do it, and he's able to bounce it up and down. And so often, we do not have a single-minded devotion towards chasing Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we have our eyes crossed, and we are not devoted to only searching after God. We're trying to pretend that, hey, I'm seeking after God in this situation, but really, I'm trying to balance this, and I am torn in my heart, and I'm trying to focus on the world too. I'm trying to focus on all these things in my life, and the Bible says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And spiritually, if we do not have a pure heart that is singularly focused on God, we're going to be unstable in all of our ways. We are crossing our eyes spiritually by trying to focus on God and people and things and looking to them instead of everything else. As I'm chasing Jesus Christ, it's all side stuff. How does that fit in? And envision your life as a big circle. Oftentimes we have this big circle in our minds. We're like, hey, you know what? Where am I going to fit God into my life? Really, the picture should be that my whole life is God. And where am I going to fit all these separate things into my relationship with God? School, church, friends. And so often we are not singularly focused on chasing Christ, and that is when we really see God. And we're very unstable. Sin blocks your view of God. So guys, question, are you double-minded? Are you two-faced? Are you, a word that we love to throw around, are you hypocritical? Are you one way in a certain situation and then in a different situation around other people, you are completely different? And Jessica and I were talking yesterday, and she said something that really stuck out to me. It highlighted it. It was easy for me to remember. And often when we realize we're being hypocritical, when we're being double-minded or two-faced, what is our response? We're like, hey, you know what? I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I don't want people to really, I don't want to be fake at church, so I'm just going to live how I want to live, and people are going to have to deal with it. Hey, this is how I am. You've got to deal with it. So we've got this church life that we want everybody to see, that we're supposed to be, that we want this picture of us, and over here we've got this other life that we're double-minded. This is how we really are in our hearts, and we're like, hey, you know what? This is me. Deal with it. But really, what should our response be? Because we are responding to the wrong side of hypocrisy. Our response should not be, hey, just deal with me for whoever I am. This should be my goal, and I should pray to God, God, please help my heart to line up with how I'm trying to act. The problem is not my actions. The problem is my heart. And yes, hypocrisy is sin. We are called not to be whited sepulchers, but don't respond the opposite way and say, you know what? Here I am. Deal with me. And oftentimes when we see hypocrisy in our lives, that's our response. Guys, change your heart. Ask God to change your heart, that you are no longer double-minded, that you are no longer one way with certain friends and another way with other friends. And when you're at home or school, you're different. Sin blocks your view of God. You cannot hold on to your sin and have a flourishing relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't. And we keep putting up all these things in front of our eyes that block our view of God. And so do you need to look through the lens of Scripture and refocus your life tonight? You know what? I'm not single-minded. I don't view my life as everything about God. I view it as all about me, and where am I going to stick God in here? Do you need to look at Scripture and say, you know what? I need to chase after God and God alone. Do you need to recommit to a singular focus? If you live a double-minded life, you must focus your devotion on God. Are you two-faced? Chase after God. You must clean your heart to see God clearly. So by turning back to 1 John chapter 1, if you could go ahead and turn back there. 1 John chapter 1, let's take a look at angle number 2. So we've seen the blocked view. What blocks our view of God? It's our sin. But now let's look at the clear view. 1 John 1, and we're going to read in verses 8 through 10. 1 John 1, 8 through 10 says this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And what we see in these passages, in these verses, is this. Fellowship is restored. Your heart is purified when you confess your sin. If you confess your sin, God gives you a clear view of him. Your fellowship is restored. God has purified your heart. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So as I was meditating on this and thinking through this, when we try to hide our sin, what we are actually doing is we are hiding our faces from God. When we refuse to confess it, when we try to hide our sin, we are hiding our faces from God and throwing that barrier up, and we are blocking our own views of God and who he is. And that's in Psalm 66, 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But guys, this is the opposite, the cool opposite side of the coin. And we learned this from Psalm 51, 9. When God hides his face from our sin, what we discover in actuality is that our sins are erased forever. When we try to hide them, we are hiding ourselves from God. But when God hides his face from our sin, he blots them out, he wipes them away. And Charles Tinley wrote a song entitled this, Nothing Between. And I'm going to read the second verse and the chorus for you. Hear the words of the chorus and the verse. It says this, nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor, keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure, habits of life, though harmless they seem. Must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all. Nothing between. Guys, is that your testimony? That you desire that absolutely nothing could be between you and your Savior. Because even if it seems harmless, sin blocks your view of God. But when you confess it, God clears your view of him. Your fellowship is restored and your heart is made pure. Do you have some sin in your heart that you're regarding in your heart tonight that you need to confess? And guys, I don't normally do something like this. I usually stick to a passage and I go straight through it. But there are some things going on in this room that I know about, that are going on in your lives that have really burdened my heart, that have really pulled on my heartstrings that I know are going on in your hearts. There are certain situations that I know of, that I know what's going on. And guys, I'm going to be completely honest and transparent. So often we try to look at other people, and what Jesus says is we try to grab the speck and point out the speck in their eye, but we refuse to look at the beam that's sticking out of our eyes. And there are some relationship issues going on. There's some other things going on in this room that, again, we are looking at for specks. And we want to go to others and point it out and say, hey, you know what? That speck is in your eye. You are sinning this way. And we've got this huge beam that's sticking out of our face. And we always want to shift the blame to other people. And we never want to take responsibility for ourselves. Guys, listen right up here. Don't be distracted. Because what happens a lot is we're like, hey, you know what? You sinned against me, and I sinned against you because you sinned against me, and my sin's okay. So now they sinned against me because I sinned against them, and now my sin's okay. Guys, sin is never okay. It doesn't matter if it's in response or the initial act. God has given us a specific way to deal with issues. And let me make a couple of other applications. Have you been gossiping about other people? Been talking about them behind their back? Have you been immoral? And even as I'm talking through this, Jesus says, remove the beam from your eye before you try to point out the speck in someone else's. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know what? I am so glad that so-and-so is in this room. I'm talking to you. Have you examined yourself before you go out and try to point out everyone else's sin? Guys, God calls us to examine ourselves. And he gives us a specific process to go through when we're dealing with issues. And let me make a side application here as well. You must be right with people to be right with God. You cannot be right with God if your relationships with people are not right. And thinking through it that way, have you been disrespectful to an authority figure that God has providentially placed in your life to watch for your souls? Are you right with people? Have you been complaining? And have you been discontent with every single thing that God has given you? Or are you instead thankful? Have you been disrespectful to authority? What have you been watching? What have you been talking and laughing about? Does it please God? And how quick are we to run to other people and say, hey, you know what, you did this, and excuse our own sin? Guys, we have to deal with us. I'm going to give an account for my sin. So what does it say in Matthew 5:23? In the same chapter we're looking at, Matthew 5, Jesus says this, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. God does not want your worship until you're right with other people. And that is a big, strong statement. And I don't say it lightly. God does not want your worship until you're right with people. Do you have some sin that you need to confess tonight? To God and maybe to people? Do you have relationships that you need to get right? Do you have authorities that you need to go to and ask for forgiveness? Because, hey, you know what? I talked about you behind your back. I tore you down. And we have all these sins that we want to point in other people, and God does not want our worship till we're right with people. You must clean your heart to see God clearly. You might feel like God is a million miles away because you are regarding iniquity in your heart. And guys, this is a big, deep thing, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 is very clear. And look at Matthew chapter 18, the process that he gives. I'm going to read those verses to you. If you want to, you can turn there. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. The specific process for dealing with issues. It says this in Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. Listen to these next words. Between thee and him alone. Don't go tell your friend. Don't go bring other people into it. The biblical process for dealing with it is not to brush it under the rug and say, hey, you know what, just forget about it. It is to deal with it, go and tell him his fault, but we've got to do it in a loving way. You know what, you sinned against me, but the reason I bring it to your attention is because I want to be right with you. Because look at the motivation it says in the rest of this passage. There, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. The only reason you should go and confront people with sin is so that you can regain and reconcile relationships. That you can gain your brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, and sometimes that happens, then bring other people in. Take with thee one or two more. Then in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Guys, don't bring people into situations that have no part of the solution. That is the only people that are supposed to be involved in different sin issues, especially in relationships. Only people that can help. Don't go and gossip. Go straight to them with the purpose of getting reconciled. So question, can you in good conscience tonight say that there's nothing between you and your Savior? Guys, that is a piercing, convicting thought. Is there nothing between you and your Savior? Because if you confess your sin, God gives you a clear view of Him. Turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, and we started with the question, why do I feel like I can't get to God? Why do I feel like my fellowship with Him is cut off? Because we have sin in our lives that separates us, that blocks our fellowship with Him. Psalm 24, and we'll read in verse 3 and 4. Because it tells us this truth, if you have a pure heart, God fellowships with you. I'm going to explain that phrase. If you have a pure heart, God fellowships with you. And we've already established we can't get a pure heart on our own. But look at Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. So the psalmist is asking, hey, who can have unhindered fellowship with God? Who can be in his presence? And he says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Sin blocks our view of God. Confession clears it up. And this seems like a standard that we can never meet. Pastor Brandon, I don't have clean hands and a pure heart. How am I supposed to be in God's presence? Again, in ourselves, we would never be able to meet this standard. This is not talking about perfection. To be able to stand before God and worship Him in righteousness, in spirit and in truth, we don't have to be perfect. We can be in the presence of the Lord and have a clear view of Him when God cleans our hands and purifies our hearts. And that only happens when we confess our sins. Last night for dinner, we had spaghetti. So we've got two kids that are eating solid food who are 3 and under, right? So how do you think they looked at the end of our spaghetti dinner? And I'll remind you, my kids have an aversion to forks. They do not like using forks. So as they finished dinner, it looked like their hands were red, like they just murdered someone. And spaghetti sauce was all over their face, like they just took their face and were like right in the spaghetti. So it's all over, it's disgusting, and they're filthy. And what do you think I told them to do to go get cleaned up? I mean, it wasn't like, hey, just sit there and like rub your hands together. Go ahead and just like clean your hands, because their hands were dirty. They were going to get more dirty. We can't do it on our own. I had to tell them and take them to the sink so they could go to water and wash their hands and clean their hands. And guys, we can't just rub our hands together and try to do it ourselves and work up the effort to clean our hearts and purify our hearts. We have got to go to God. He's the only one that can do that. And God does that work in us. And He cleans our hands and purifies our hearts when we confess. Look straight up here, nobody talking. Confession is how you clean your hands and purify your hearts. We are washed by the spilt blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's not about perfection. It's about Christ. And we must confess. You might say, you know what? I can't be perfect. There is something that every single one of us can do. We can all humble ourselves and confess our sin. And that's what God asks us to do. Sin blocks our view of God, but confession opens it up. You must clean your heart to see God clearly. So guys, may this verse in Psalm 51, I'm about to read to it, may it be the prayer of all of our hearts. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because sin blocks your view and your fellowship of God, with God, confession opens it up. When you try to hide it and cover it, there's going to be trouble. Open it up and show it and reveal it, and you're going to receive grace and mercy. That's in the book of Proverbs. Don't hide your sin, because that just blocks your fellowship with God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it, for the confrontation.